Tuesday, Tater Tots, and welcome back to another episode of Topics of Taboo, the raw and honest podcast where we unpack, educate, and attempt to erase the stigma surrounding taboo topics. I'm your host, Megan Dykeman, and in today's episode, I am joined by one of my best friends, Charlie Harris, who is currently nannying abroad over in the UK. She's currently in Scotland on a bit of a holiday, but in today's episode, we talk about a lot of things. We cover an array of different topics. And as always, being topics of taboo, a few sensitive topics are covered throughout this episode. So I wanted to make note of those at the beginning of this episode so you can head to the timestamps to see which topics may be triggering for you that you can skip through. There are quite a few. So we do make mention of miscarriage and abortion, as well as sexual assault, certain mental health issues. And yeah, they're the main sort of sensitive topics. We do talk about mental health as a whole, and seeking help and all those good things. We answer questions about sex toys and how old we were when we first bought them. We talk about getting the COVID vaccine. We also dive into some TikTok drama and talk about how cancel culture and social media can be very, very toxic. We talk about body image, self-discovery, and most importantly, mental health. So yeah, we cover a lot of things in this episode. I sincerely hope you enjoy it. And yeah, again, definitely check the timestamps if any of those topics are triggering for you. Yeah, and without further ado, let's welcome Charlie onto the podcast. Hey, Charlie, how are we?
Hello.
I would say long time no speak, but we literally had a phone call like 2 or 3 days ago. So,
I was actually thinking we haven't seen each other in 9 months, nearly.
Oh my, like in real life, people. Obviously, we're looking at each other on Facebook Messenger now. Thanks, that's what's up. But yeah, Charlie left for her little overseas adventure about 9 months ago.
Yeah,
I can't believe it's been 9 months.
Yeah, time has just gone.
So for those of you who don't know, if you hadn't listened to our previous episode, which is episode number, I can't even remember. I'm going to go have a look now in case you guys want to listen to it because it is a really good one. Huh? Yeah, it was early on. Dealing with depression and anxiety in high school with Charlie Harris. That was episode number 7. We're nearly up to 30 now. That's insane. But yes, if you did want to go and listen to that, it is really good. And we speak about sort of Charlie's mental health throughout high school and seeking help and how she did it and how all of that happened. And we will touch on it briefly today. But if you did want to go ahead and listen to that, that is in episode 7. But yeah, she is currently overseas nannying, which is really cool. I'm jealous. But obviously you've had some issues with COVID and lockdown and stuff over there as well recently, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, I literally touched down on a Sunday and then we went into a lockdown on the Thursday.
Yeah.
It was like it was like tier 4 here, and that was pretty much a lockdown for 2 weeks. Then they went back normal. And then in December, it was actually my birthday, which is a bit sad, but it was my birthday when they announced like the big lockdown. And they kind of said, Christmas is canceled. So my birthday is 6 days before Christmas. So it was like, your birthday's cancelled. Christmas is cancelled.
Christmas is cancelled. So, what a good present.
I'm so lucky that the family I live and work for, they were really amazing and I had Christmas with them. But it was a bit, now looking back, it was a bit crazy. Just kind of roll with the punches because then, it was winter as well. And in Jan, things started opening up, but I actually started making a lot more friends in January. I just kind of started meeting more people, and I've got such an amazing friendship group now, which is great. And it just really helped obviously through that lockdown time. Now things here have like lifted. It's been 9 months, but probably 6 months since everything kind of happened. It's just crazy that when at that time on my birthday, I remember being so upset. More just because it was like, what have I done? Like, I've just moved to this country where lockdown is again this huge thing, and
can't even go outside.
And I couldn't see my family, and I have cousins here, and I couldn't see them, and so it was just a big whirlwind. But now coming out of it, I'm actually like, wow, I'm double vaccinated now. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of good things that have come out of it all, me living over here.
Yeah.
Because if I had been at home, I wouldn't have been able to be vaccinated. And
no.
And I think also just I'm here. I just can't believe it. Sometimes I just look and around, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm actually in Scotland at the moment. And I cried a little bit the other day because I was like, I just had to stop and go, wow, I'm actually in Scotland. It's just so bizarre to me that after the whole year and a half that the world's gone through, I'm so lucky enough to be able to just be over here and experience my young life. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a bit crazy. I mean, COVID was a big thing. But as I said to family and friends at the time, I'm going to do the exact same thing I did at home, just be safe and, you know, abide by the rules and got to just live every day. And now, coming out of it, it's actually
fine. Nice. Yeah, because we're not even, like, vaccinated over here. Basically, just recently, I'm not sure if you heard this, but they actually opened up the AstraZeneca vaccine. I don't know which one you got.
Moderna.
Okay, so that's another one over there.
Mm.
Okay. They opened up AstraZeneca to under 60s. So I could go and get it if I wanted, but we've heard stuff about it not being a legit, like only like a 70% or so vaccine that Europe sees you that you're not fully vaccinated. So there's no point really getting that if you want to travel. Obviously, if you just want to stay here, then that's cool. But like Fraser and I are definitely thinking about overseas travel in the next couple of years when it opens up. So we're sort of just waiting to get Pfizer.
It's actually really bizarre because didn't get a choice. I just got there that day and they said, we're offering Moderna. So I was like, fine. And I'm actually, Moderna is actually one of the really good ones, which I didn't realize.
Yeah.
But the whole thing with the travel over here is that apparently a whole lot of the, a mass production of AstraZeneca in India. And so then after the Delta variant came and everyone's like, you know, worried about that, they stopped that production there. But so if you happen to have AstraZeneca from that batch from India, no one wants you to come into their country.
Yeah.
So it's all that. And one of my really good friends here has had AstraZeneca, but she doesn't know if it's that batch or not. So it's one of those things where you can only get told with your barcode. I can imagine that, it's a bit hit or miss in that sense with that one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm all for getting vaccinated, but I completely understand that there's lots of different loopholes and things that might be causing people to, you know, to want to go with one rather than the other.
I've seen a lot of people pushing all this false and negative rhetoric about the vaccine. It's like people are making shit up now. Like I was reading through Abby Chatfield's most recent Instagram post, or one of them, which we'll delve into shortly, but people were saying all this shit about the vaccine and there was just no evidence. Like they're like, oh yeah, I saw it on Facebook. And it's like, stop spreading. If you don't want it, that's cool. Get sick. But don't force that upon other people and don't spread false stuff. But the biggest thing that some of my work colleagues and I have been speaking about is the whole blood clot risk. And it's like, hello, have you seen the side effects of the pill that pretty much every woman I know has been on for a certain amount of time? Way bigger risk and way more side effects. And it's obviously it comes down to education and what people want to believe or don't want to believe, but it's just
My dad scary. Is in his 50s and he was saying that he saw a lot of those, pictures and cartoons and things that have been drawn and made about the vaccine being, a thing to navigate you, track you, a tracker. And but he was saying, my dad's been vaccinated, but it's that generation that it's still on social media just because it's so new to them still because they never grew up with it. So they will believe everything. And I was saying to a friend the other day that like generations like that used to use the paper, like a newspaper, to read everything, all of it, you'd probably believe everything mm-hmm. you read in a newspaper. It's the same thing. Now they're just getting the information from Facebook or whatever they do.
Exactly.
So, or read.
Social media.
I mean, yeah, that's a danger with social media in the sense that it can really brainwash people into thinking things that's not true. But I agree with you, like, it just needs that education.
Yeah. And the danger is, okay, so yes, obviously people would spread false stuff. Like journalists are paid to fearmonger. They're paid to write content for newspapers and articles that people are going to want to talk about and be like, oh my God, you know, shock factor. But the scary thing is now, so obviously that still happens. People still read the paper and there's still bullshit articles in there. But at the same time, people will see one status from one person who is not a doctor, not a medical professional, just a random person who says, like, just spreads hearsay. And people will then go, oh, I saw this person's status about this, and believe it, like, instantly. Mm. And it's just bad, because then they go and tell their work colleagues or people that will want to listen and take on that information. And it's just a snowball effect, I think. But the vaccination rates in Australia have been increasing. And there is days, like, I've tried to sort of... It is important to keep up with and take note of, I know that, but I think it's just like my mental health is so poor at the moment. I think it's just adding that extra layer of stress. So I try not to look at it that much, but there are definitely days where there's thousands and thousands of people going for either vaccine in Melbourne or whatever, which is so good, especially when we had like that second outbreak here. A lot of people were getting vaccinated, which is awesome. But yeah, there's obviously still people out there that are against it. But I don't know how many of you listeners follow Abby Chatfield or even listen to her It's a Lot podcast. I am a massive listener. I'm a massive fan. So is Charlie. We just adore her and her ability to speak so candidly and freely. And I think she can be quite polarizing at times. I know she's definitely said stuff in the past that I haven't necessarily agreed with, but I do applaud her for. Mentioned to you before we started recording today, whether you'd seen Abby Chatfield's stories and her post, her TikTok about abortion. Obviously, you saw it. And how fucked. So basically, for those of you who don't know, didn't see it, Abby basically duetted a TikTok with this guy that essentially was mad at women for being happy and pretty much pro-choice in terms of abortion. And Abby just went off about, like, what do you just expect women to be miserable and need to go through therapy because they get an abortion? Like, it's not – it was really rough to, like, read through the comments and know that people – there are men and possibly women out there that think it's okay to have an opinion on something that they haven't gone through if they haven't themselves. And even if they have, it's still there was a comment – something along the lines of even people that have gone through something can still be ignorant about it and negative about it. But I don't know if you did much research or saw a lot of the comments on it, but they were pretty bleak and negative. And abortion is a really, really difficult topic to broach, as well as miscarriage. But I do have it on my list of topics to speak about in the next couple of months. I think I sort of want to know your opinion, and I sort of want to open up the conversation about it a bit more, because I don't think about it or talk about it with friends as often as maybe we should. I mean, I know it's an uncomfortable topic, but the fact that this man, and I'm pro-choice, obviously, but that this guy, this random guy on TikTok was like, had an opinion on abortion, something that he will never, ever, ever have to go through personally, physically, emotionally himself. And then the audacity to literally, I think, I didn't actually watch the TikTok itself. I only watched the portion where Abby replied to it. So maybe I should watch it. I don't know. Did you watch it?
No, I didn't watch his. I just watched the duet.
I think she said something like, actually, I'll quickly play it just so we can, if it's still on her story, I'm not sure.
I used to be a lot more moderate on the issue of abortion.
Let's make this easy. And how about you just live your life without having any opinion on the topic of abortions? You don't get to decide what is a legitimate reason for someone having an abortion. What is fucking bad about someone being joyous about having complete bodily autonomy and being able to make a decision that is right for them? It's like you're saying the cost of being able to do what we want with our bodies is repenting and having shame.
Yeah.
If we don't feel shame, if we're not upset in our own private worlds, then we must be bad people and we mustn't deserve to have the right to do whatever the fuck we want with our bodies. My abortion was an easy decision. Super easy. Was I happy about it? No. Do I wish that I was happy about it? Yes. Why would you want someone to feel guilt? And why do you think the only way you would allow abortions is if every woman had to go to fucking counselling after one?
But yeah, the caption basically speaks about...
She's so
real.
Outspoken.
And outspoken, and it's great. Yeah. But like, she's 100% correct on this topic. I know in the past, if you're listening and you're not her biggest fan, that's totally fine because she is polarizing. But I think that's what's so great about her. She's not afraid to speak her mind. And when she does say something wrong, she will apologize. But this, I'm 100% behind her on this. And she basically just said, this man said that he was moderate on the topic of abortion until he saw some women being happy about their abortions, so now he's more conservative. Sick face. Why the fuck do you want women to be in a state of trauma? Why do you feel we should only be afforded the right to bodily autonomy if we hate ourselves for it? Does it make you feel like the price has been paid if some tears are shed? Does it make you happy when women are in therapy for years after their abortions? And she keeps going on a little bit about that. But what the fuck? Like, it made me so mad, and it's something that I've never really been mad about because I haven't come across an ignorant video like that. I know there's obviously people out there who are pro-choice and who aren't, which is...
I'm so lucky because my mum and dad have brought my brother and I up to be so open, and this was a conversation and a topic that I have been very much like aware of for a long time. And I mean, and I've always been pro-choice in the sense of like what in Abby's case is that it's my body, it's my life, and you know, the situations that you're in, like, you know. But again, if say like if anyone had had that, which I know a lot of women do, they don't speak about it, then it's their, not secret, but that's their thing. And it's only when we women decide to tell someone about it, that's when we get really hounded for it. And I think, I mean, I've never been through anything like that, but, you know, you can't even imagine until you do go something through like that, that, you know, you never know until you go through it. But at the same time, I think, like we were saying before, even about the vaccine, it's just really toxic, I think, now, because everyone has an opinion, and everyone, and I love like that we all have a free voice and that we can all speak our minds, but I just sometimes think that we should all have opinions, but sometimes we don't need to be toxic with our opinions. Like, have your own opinion. I'm actually teaching my little boys that I look after about opinions at the moment. Because I'm like, I can have an opinion, but you can also have an opinion. But we don't need to clash with each other. It's just at the end of the day, this is my view, that's your view. Okay, can we live together with these views? No. Okay, let's move away. If we can, let's live to like have different opinions. It's human nature to have different opinions. But like, I think, people just need to not... in his TikTok, that guy, it seemed as though he felt like it was his right to say, I'm the best and this is my opinion and my opinion is the right opinion. Which, you know, I would never say like, this is my opinion and that's black and white, that's it.
No.
I'm open to other opinions, but it's one of those things where unless you can't have a conversation about it, and if it's really toxic, then I just, But I think it's... at the end of the day, like, women and men, like, we're all... I think the world is changing, and I think that it's amazing. But it's one of those things that... So many things, which I actually had a note on, that about, like, the human body, that everyone... People are still very... Don't want to talk about it, don't want to listen to it, you know. And it's very bizarre, because I think that... I mean, obviously... more women than we know we wouldn't even know, but they probably have gone through it. Like, we probably have one or two friends that have done it, and they haven't told anyone, and that's their choice, but it's because they feel shame with that choice. And, you know, you at the end of the day, it is your body, your choice.
Totally. I just...
But I know, I do know a lot of people that have had one. My a friend of mine said she had gone through one, and when she went, there was the people protesting in front, and like, but I guess that's like anything when you go to the races, there's always going to be the protesters of like saying racing kills horses, like. Yes, but that is a whole other thing. But it's one of those things that there's always going to be people that have an opinion. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I just don't know why we can't all live in peace with our own opinions, and then we don't have to, you know. I think like even like hate comments online, it's like, what do you have in your day, like in your life, to have the energy to get out of bed and then go fight someone else's opinion in the sense of like...
Yeah.
I mean, and that that might sound contradicting in my sense, because I guess the Black Lives Matter, people do get out of bed and protest like the good. I'm kind of talking about in the sense of like, if you want to go and do it in a small niche, like get up and say your body is, you shouldn't be in control of your body, and I'm going to protest that today. Like, you know, it's one of those, like, those smaller niches where it's like, life doesn't need to be that negative, I mean.
And I'm all for...
I can't even control my own, like, life. Why would I go...
Control someone else's.
Have to have, like, the energy to, like, comment a negative hate message on someone's photo when, like, you know, it's just, like, too much...
I know, and that's a whole other thing, and I agree about, of course, freedom of speech, totally here for it, freedom of opinion, yes, and obviously everyone has the right to their own opinion, but I think when those opinions, I really dislike when someone that hasn't gone through a particular thing, hasn't experienced a particular thing, or cannot or can never, feels like they can have an opinion worth, not worth sharing, but that's like me saying, I don't know, like obviously I'm a cisgender female, and me saying something against men that I could never possibly experience for myself, I can have that opinion, but whether it's valid or not and whether it's going to be hurtful or not is another thing. And I think people don't think before they speak, people don't think before they post things, or they do it on purpose to gain not necessarily a following, but gain like an uproar sort of, and like have comments, and it's just a bit sickening. But yeah, I'm also obviously everyone has their own opinion and the right to their own opinion and whatever, but yeah, I think a man speaking about having an opinion on the fact that he doesn't think women can be happy about body autonomy and having the right to an abortion if they want is fucked, and that's not okay.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can't experience, what men experience. Yeah. But that's like anything. Like, it's just we can't experience things that people go through. Like, if you haven't experienced it, you don't know. So, I mean, but again, I agree. Like, that they can never experience that.
And even if you're...
We can never experience any, like, men, you know, like, testicle cancer. Like, we don't have testicles, so we can't. Like, yes, we have cervix, but like it's a completely different thing that we would never be able to experience. So just, you know, I agree.
I don't know if you're into TikTok drama or not. I'd like to say I'm not, but honestly, like through lockdowns and stuff and through working from home and just being on TikTok a lot, I've seen my fair share. Have you heard about the Sienna Mae and Jack Wright drama?
No, I'm not really on TikTok. I went through that phase of like being on all the time and then went no.
Yeah, it is a massive time consuming app, that's for sure, but I'll briefly touch on it just because I want to speak about this in a positive light. Obviously, I don't want to draw more negative attention to it, but basically there's this whole thing where two TikTokers, Sienna and Jack, were like besties. They were sort of seen as relationship clout type TikToks, thirst trap TikToks together, and it was always very vague as to whether they were dating or not. And basically it was like a month or so ago, these allegations came out that Sienna had sexually assaulted Jack. And they came out through a TikTok. They came out through a tweet that his friends had posted. So he never said anything. And it came out through mates, tweets that were later deleted because, A, that is so not your place to ever, if you consider yourself a friend of someone who's been sexually assaulted, you don't tweet about it. Sorry. And then later on, like, Sienna denied it. She came out and was like, this, I did not do this, and like shared so many intimate details that she shouldn't have to as a 16-year-old, but she did. Tried to clear her name, that sort of thing. And then a video was posted, which, to be fair, doesn't look good in her, for her. Like, it's sort of a video, I don't know, you may have seen this, but you might not have. And it was just like Sienna and Jack at a party, and Jack appeared to be sort of quite drunk, quite, I don't know if passed out is the word, but like quite drunk, had his arm around this mate on the couch, and then Sienna and him sort of, it appears that she starts kissing him, and the guy just gets up and leaves because you don't want to be sitting right next to your mates that are making out. But from the back, it looks like he is passed out, and she's sort of, her hand moves to his groin, and it sort of looks like, yeah, she touches him inappropriately while he's supposedly passed out. Now, that looks really, really bad. But again, this was posted on social media by his friends again. And again, even after this, if your mate has been sexually assaulted and you believe that, A, you don't post it online for the whole fucking world to see. And two, you don't film that when it's happening. You go and intervene, and you certainly never have the intention of posting it or anything. So again, I'm definitely not, I'm neutral. Yeah. I'm not on anyone's side. I cannot be, because we don't know all the facts. We probably never will, but it's very disgusting behavior for people that are meant to be his friends.
But I just thinking, I was just thinking, like, in an ordinary world without their fame and clout, like, I think, say, like, obviously if something had happened to you in high school, I'd be angry, like, as a friend, I'd be quite upset, but you kind of, I would, you know, that would be not even be a thought in my brain to like extend the invitation into the private matter.
It's a personal, like, issue.
But because I think that, I mean, I don't even know this story. So, I mean, that kind of seems as though, they were just trying to get a clickbait.
Totally.
Kind of thing, in the sense that, because in an ordinary world, you would never even, like, think about that. I, you know, you'd extend it to family, like, you know, you go, I witnessed this and I think I should bring it up to you, or to your friend saying, look, mate, you did this to my friend, or I think I saw this and I think that you've been in this situation. But no, I just think, wow, that's, I think from an, like, me being not on the app as much, I would be more on the side of, Sienna and Jack as a, like, as a pair, and then the friends, like, you know, the friends are in the wrong.
I know,
you know, but again, I think, oh my God, this podcast is turning into like social media.
Totally.
Because I just think it is like people think they have the right to extend the invitation to external people when they don't really.
And
they don't
have
the right. But that they think they have, they think they're in the position to be like, you know, and I guess, like, I've been watch, you know, you watch shows and, like, there might be a sex tape or something like that, and it gets posted around the school or something, or, you know, in our case, we had that at high school, like, nudes were sent around. The person who sent it, you know, whatever, that's, like, one of those situations. But, I mean, I guess when we were in high school, social media wasn't as big, but, again, those people wouldn't put it on, like, the biggest platform, because we were just ordinary people. But I think because these two are not ordinary people, they have a following,
which is
which can make, again, her career may, or both of theirs, but her career may have been you know, affected because of this allegation. Yeah. And that's like anyone that's in the limelight, spotlight, your image can be altered by one thing that, you know, may or may not have happened. Like, And then everyone has their opinions on it.
And obviously we'll probably never know, and that's okay. And I just want to make it clear that I'm not on anyone's side because, we don't know and we may never know. And, yes, I am all for believing the victim. The thing is, the victim hasn't said anything. And that's, like, my biggest thing. Like, and there is no pressure on him to say it because sexual assault survivors, people that have been sexually assaulted, obviously a lot of the time never say it. It's too triggering. They don't want to revisit it. They package it up and put it away, and they never talk to anyone about it, even a therapist. And that, I understand that, and I understand how hard it is, and he may never talk about it, and that's fine if he doesn't. But the thing is, you can't believe hearsay. You can't believe anything unless the victim themselves say something, or there's a trial, or there's something legally that happens. You can't. It's a really, really murky topic. But yeah, that's just something I wanted to talk about. And
it is a murky topic. Yeah. I think because you don't actually. It is a murky topic in the sense that sometimes I don't think you realize that it's happened until you reflect or say maybe he didn't think that, but then his friends have brought it up and now he may be thinking, wow, did it? Because he may have been really drunk. But like, I know, I think back at like things that I've done in my past, and like I've never been sexually assaulted, but you do think like, oh, I don't, like, you know, I was drunk in that situation. Yeah. Like, I consented, and of course, like, that wasn't sexual assault, but you always think like, maybe some people don't actually realize it had happened, but now, like, then because they're bottling it up and then reflecting and going, actually, I do feel like that wasn't, you know, the choice that I wanted to make at that stage, and I didn't say yes or no, I didn't consent. So, you know, he may not be speaking purely in the sense of him being reflecting or because he just doesn't want to deal with it. But I mean, as you said, we will never know.
Yeah.
That's just such a crazy situation to be in.
Something that I have come across lately, sorry, I have had it happen to me, not often, but at times, but I see it a lot more on TikTok. People will jump on a bandwagon so quickly, or people will try and like spread negative stuff or false stuff about people. Because I had a brush with this earlier in the year, and I'm never gonna open up about it completely. You obviously know what I'm talking about, but I had something happen that I was accused of that did not happen and couldn't be further from it, but people that I didn't even know were like commenting on it and trying to put their two cents in, and I was like, okay, do not. And I think that's what makes me so triggered and mad about it, because I'm like, do not ever comment on something that you know nothing about. Like, it is honestly the worst thing you could do. You are perpetuating a problem that doesn't even exist. That's why like cancel culture is so toxic, and like if I believe in canceling people that do something genuinely really bad, like if someone is a racist, someone is openly homophobic, transphobic, whatever it is, they do something awful like that, but jumping on the bandwagon of and like this is even the Sienna and Jack thing, she got so cancelled because people saw the evidence and they took it. And yes, people are like, believe the victim first. I am for believing the victim when the facts are there, or when that person has said that, or when, you know, like obviously not in a situation like that, because we're never going to know their personal intricate details of things that happened. But like in our personal lives, yes, if someone comes to me and tells me something that happened to them, you always believe them. You never don't believe them. I 100% get that. But people that like jump onto public matters that have, or like matters that never have involved them with people that they don't know.
No.
These are people behind their screens just like tip-tapping away. You don't know that person. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know the situation. You don't know anything. So do not make a comment on it. Obviously, you know why I'm so fired up about this. But even if I hadn't,
but I mean, I know what you mean. If you hadn't been in that situation, it's still a situation where it's just, again, you don't have to add fuel to the fire when there wasn't even anything
and to obviously burn. My situation was a complete false accusation. Like, it wasn't even close to what people were trying to sort of say, but when it is, that's an even more murky topic, because people then, as soon as they see like two things that are similar, they'll join the dots and jump on the bandwagon of cancelling, and it's so toxic. I believe in
I mean, I don't have a following, but like, I mean, you do, and I guess like having a following, it can get, you know, people, you know, either really like you or don't. I also don't understand that. I just think, well, if you don't like me, don't follow me, don't look at my things.
Literally.
That's energy that, why would you even put yourself in?
Yep.
But, I mean, completely understand when, like, you have a following. I can't even imagine that. There's a lot of people wanting to know your personal business. And I know you don't share every single piece of your information with your following, purely because that's just, you know, that's not, you don't want to because it's personal. But I think that, yeah, the people, like the hundreds of thousands of people that watch you, or like, or other people or influencers, like, they don't know everything. They just know what is portrayed online. So if something negative is portrayed online, they're going to grab that and go, oh, that's horrible. You know, I can't believe you did that.
Before we go, we have a few questions here from some of you. I popped something up on my Instagram right before Charlie and I recorded, and I just thought I'd give you all some time to ask the questions while we had a little chit chat catch up. So that's what we've done. But just had a few questions here. We can do like little quick fire questions. One of them was about sex toys, and it was, how old were you when you got your first sex toy, and how did you go about getting it? Now, yeah, I feel like that's coming from someone that cannot, or feels like they can't, order it online, whether they don't have a card yet or something like that. But yeah, how old were you and how did you go about that? I'm guessing you were able to get your own.
I mean, to be honest, I wish I knew about them a lot earlier on. I guess because it was a bit of a taboo topic. Because when I dated a girl when I was quite young, I mean, we were so young and we knew the idea of it.
Yeah.
But we kind of always were like, we're so young, like, you know, that's never going to be a thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, so I knew what it was about, and I knew what, you know, they could do. And I didn't get one until I was in a long-term relationship. And
okay.
But again, I didn't really know what I was doing and what I was buying.
Yeah.
Didn't, like, it was the first one I ever got. I never researched into it. So I just kind of went into the shop and I just was like, this will do.
Yeah.
Which then it wasn't actually what I wanted
in
terms of like what I actually was actually wanting to achieve there.
Yeah.
It didn't, for me, because I remember you when you started kind of coming, when you started getting brand deals, and when you started getting sent sex toys, I was always really like jealous because they're expensive. And I was like, fuck, Megan just got this really cool vibrator for like free, and that was before you were even posting.
I know.
About them. They were just sending them to you, and I was like, oh my god. And so it wasn't until actually last year in lockdown, when in 2020, when I was in Australia, that I actually went to the shop. And I had a look and I browsed and I actually was like, what do I want? Had a conversation with the person working there. They were so nice. So, now, I mean, I was 22. That was when I first got my first one that I really, you know. And then, I love them.
Yep.
Like, I have a few now. But it's one of those things that I always knew about. But then, you always get a bit like, oh, like, I remember I went on a girls' trip when I was like 17.
Yeah.
No, 18. And two of us wanted to go into the sex shop, and the other two were like, no, we can't. And it's like, well, why not?
Yeah.
Like, you know, who cares? That's me, and that's how I'm free spirited. But like,
I'm totally the same, although I actually haven't told you this. I think you'll really enjoy it, and I think the listeners will enjoy it too. I'm very liberal and open with that too. Like, I've been into a fair few sex shops myself. But holy fuck. And like, I'm all for it too. I think it's great if if this person's listening in that position, if you feel like you can't order it online, which if you do, all the packaging these days are so discreet. Like, they come in a fucking cardboard package. You no one would know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But something that sickened me, like it made me so sick, was I went into a sex shop in Geelong like a few months ago with one of my housemates, and
yeah.
It was great. Like, there was so much cool stuff that you don't even know exists, and that was fun. But there was like a whole section of like porn, and obviously there were sections of like teen or romance or over a certain age or like whatever genres there are. Cool, fine, nothing against that. But when we were in there, there was a man that would have been over his 70s in the teen section. So that's obviously illegal and just like disgusting. And the fact that they even sell, because they would 100% sell underage, like shit that they shouldn't sell. And that just made, that did not sit well with me at all. Like, it made me feel so sick. So I understand like how people obviously enjoy ordering online and doing all of that from the comfort of their own home as well. But
yeah,
it was so gross.
I think it that like brings up a lot. I mean,
it was too much.
I completely understand. I mean, we are stupid because Nika and I can't, we're both the same in the sense that if you ask me, like, how are you, I'll tell you my 7-year backstory and then say, actually, I'm fine today. So, like, we just go on and on. But, no, I think going online is so good too. For me, I just think sometimes I'm like, oh, they're so expensive, blah, blah, blah.
Maybe, like, affordable sex toys. Maybe I should do that.
Yeah, you should. Because, and Megan, they're like, all that's expensive. Exactly why I got, like, when I was in lockdown last year, obviously, like, it was lockdown and I was newly single and I'm learning so much about myself, but I have no idea. And especially when you're in a long-term relationship, you do experiment, but at the same time you don't. And I guess now I know so many more things about my body and what I like and what I don't like. And
that's great.
And but like they have really helped me in that sense. And that's why I research now and go, actually, that toy wouldn't be good for me because I'm learning more about this situation.
Yeah. We sort of touched on it earlier, obviously, because you were saying you were a bit down for the first couple of months when you got there with lockdown and like being in a new country and all of that sort of thing. So this person said, any tips on handling depression in lockdown?
Well, I mean,
obviously,
I feel as though I'm very much healed in the sense of my depression because I put a lot of hard work into myself last year in getting ready for this big move. Oh, sorry. In preparation to move here, did a lot of like self-care, like made sure, you know, did a lot of things to start loving myself because I thought, well, I'm going to be my own best friend on this journey, so I may as well like my own company. And so, I mean, I have the extra factor of moving abroad, but then in lockdown, I think that consistency was the biggest thing for me in the sense of consistency in the things that I did to help myself. I actually like really got into it was like a bad habit, I guess. When I got here, I was binge eating. It was winter. Yeah. I was probably a little bit depressed because of everything going on in lockdown.
Yeah.
And I gained a lot of weight and I felt really shit. And I felt like, oh my God, all these like things that I had worked so hard to do now gone. Mm-hmm. But then, my mum actually bought me this amazing book called Note to Self. It's like a little cartoon book, but it pretty much is just giving you those affirmations like, you know, there's a feeling, a negative feeling, acknowledge it, but don't dwell on it.
Yeah.
So I had to just really balance myself and go, no, this has happened. What can I do to help myself? Again, because I'm so far in my journey with mental health that I know that I'm the only person that can help me. So So
yeah,
I needed to kind of rebalance and say, okay, I need to start going to the gym. I need to start working on myself. What do I eat?
Yeah.
And in that sense, and with like depression, if I just had a really bad day, like a really down day, I had to think of the things that I would go to, say, what makes me happy? Do I journal it? I go go outside and I say, I think of one thing I'm really grateful for. So it was more those things of being consistent with the coping mechanisms, but keeping them consistent, especially when I didn't feel like keeping them consistent.
Yeah.
You feel more proud of yourself when you kind of dig yourself back out. But yeah, no, I know how hard it is. It's really hard. And it depends on what stage of your journey you're in.
Totally. I think a routine really helps as well. I think that's massive.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of obviously routine of your coping strategies and mechanisms, but also just having a routine in general, especially in lockdown, because it is very different to how we used to live. But yeah, I think that's really good advice. Someone here said, I know we touched on your borderline personality disorder last time in the last episode, and this person really liked that, but sort of said, can you please explain borderline a bit more? I've been researching it stacks since I heard about it on your pod, which I guess it is different for everyone, as you said. But maybe could you explain it a little bit more, maybe in your terms, like subjectively, but
well, actually, did actually read something the other day, because borderline personality disorder kind of comes from it stems from your depression and anxiety. And so it was, you know, I had like emotional instability. I was like my patterns of thinking and perception were disordered. I had really impulsive behavior, which is why I was tested for it. And and it was all stemming from these like adolescent, hormones, depression, anxiety that I had. And I actually read the other day that it's not cured in a sense, but it blows up and then it kind of goes down again. So imagine like a balloon. The air blowing the balloon up is your depression, the anxiety, the other things that your mental health and the, but then once you kind of can deflate those things, the borderline personality deflates as well. So I got told that I would not always have this. It's one of those things that stems from something else. So, and the only way, I mean, to treat it really is by going to therapy and you overcome your symptoms to recover.
Yeah.
So your symptoms are your behaviors that are stemmed from your depression and anxiety. And so that's the way you treat it, is to, recover, like overcome your symptoms. Think that ever since I was diagnosed with it, I then had to see myself from an outside of my body and say, okay, you need to help yourself, because there was no other way that I would have been able to deal with it.
Yeah.
It is something that is different for everyone. But I don't experience the symptoms as much as I used to. I'm a very emotional person. I'm very in touch with my emotions.
Yeah, me too.
And my anxiety is the one that stems it, I think, the most, because I had really bad anxiety since moving here. And that created, I'd create like things, like scenarios that would never happen in a million years in my head.
Yeah.
But then I would react in a person to the scenarios instead of what's actually happening in my real life. And so that was kind of like a symptom of BPD, because I was like, I was reacting to the things, like my patterns of thinking were distorted. So then I was reacting to those, but they're not true. But I'm so grateful that I now have this I've kind of gone through it, that I could stop myself and say, look, Charlie, this is what you're doing. You know what you're doing. You need to just step back and again, rebalance. I'm so much into the balancing myself now. I am so happy that I really am aware of my life and my own personal, like, mental health and my thoughts and what triggers me and what doesn't and what helps me. And so,
That's so good.
I think it's one of those things that, it stems from other mental health things. But, I think that I'm very much like past that, but again, I do obviously, we all have something that is within us, and but I feel very confident with my coping mechanisms now.
Yeah,
and you're always learning good. About them. You're always
totally
always evolving.
Yeah. Just after, I've had my first therapy session, and I can't thank myself enough for it, because I know. Like, I have a timeline now. I know what we're going to talk about or focus on in the next couple of sessions. And I know I have someone outside of my personal life that supports me and doesn't know the next thing about me other than all the problems that I told her I was having. But, they don't know you. They can really, really help. And obviously in a very non-judgmental capacity as well, which is awesome. But seeing a therapist, amazing.
Love it. I actually was saying to my mum a few weeks ago, should I invest in a therapist over here? Because I mean, I don't live in my home country now. It's a bit more difficult to do it in the sense. I mean, it's not difficult. You only make something as difficult as you want to make it. But I completely agree. I actually really, I'm really considering it. And purely there's nothing wrong with me or wrong with getting therapy. You don't have to have anything wrong. But I just want someone to talk to, isn't. I actually learned about myself that I think I am very much an anxiously attached person. And when, to support that for me, I need strong connections. And so a therapist is a strong connection, because you know that they're going to support you, as you said, no matter what. They're your strong connection and your strong relationship. And I've learned of this about myself purely being abroad. I have so many. I left so many people at home. And I really know the strong connections, the ones that I have not lost, because I moved abroad. That was my choice. But I know the strong connections and relationships that I still have, and there's no need for me to be anxious about the other ones. Like, if people want to pull away and drift, then that's life, and that's one of those things that I've had to deal with. But no, I think going to therapy is so therapeutic. It's really good. A nanny friend I made literally. I mean, we were just at the park and she just started talking to me about her therapy, and I was like, love that for you. Tell me more. She just was like, I want to be just really, she was just so open with that, with me. And we didn't really know each other at the time. We were just in the park, looking after our kids. And she just was like, this is what I want to chat about. And obviously she felt that she needed to talk, and that was great, because it put me in a perspective where I thought, maybe I should, do that. But I'm really happy that you're going to therapy.
Same.
Because, I'm happy for everyone. But just, it's something that I think everyone should do.
Totally. And like you said, you don't have – at least once. And you don't have to have anything wrong. Anyone can go and get therapy. I think it's really, really healthy. You said, even you're really good at the moment. You have – work through a lot of your mental health, and that's awesome, and you're in a really good spot, obviously. Being aware of your emotions, aware of your feelings, and aware of your needs as well is something that's is something that's really important, because if you know that you're anxiously attached and you need that secure person in your life that otherwise would be here, whether it be family or one of your good friends or whoever, that can't be there when you need them, because obviously we're overseas now. You're overseas. That would be
Say it
a really
again.
good.
I'm overseas.
You're overseas still. yeah, obviously that's actually really, really, not clever is the wrong word, but just good thing to do. Like, you're just aware. And yeah, I've become so much more aware lately. It's funny how it takes a few things to happen to you and like a bout of, or like a few months of experiencing mental health or mental health issues, until you recognize those things about yourself and what triggers you and what doesn't. Because prior to like this year, I hadn't really looked inwards much. And now I'm like, holy shit, like I have so much to work through. And it's interesting that it takes something for that to happen. And but we should all be introspecting.
Yeah, we're adults. I mean, in the sense that like, I mean, we're adults, but we're actually not that old, because I was actually saying to my nanny mum the other day, I mean, like I'm 23 years old. But she then said, but you haven't been an adult for very long. You've been an adult for like 5 years maybe.
Yeah.
So I haven't, yeah. And then I have been living with my parents. Then I came over here and I'm living with people. So it's not like, you know, I've never had that time to be like, who are you? Like, I literally didn't know who I was.
I know.
So, and I think, you know, like going from being so comfortable, like I was in this little bubble. I mean, I was doing a degree. I had a boyfriend. I had a house that I lived with my parents. I lived in this like a bubble. Then to pop everything in that bubble and then move away, I wouldn't have actually learned anything about myself if I hadn't have done that. Like if I hadn't have moved forward in that sense, because you know we don't know who we are until we actually look within and actually figure out what we like. I like didn't know what movies I liked. It just like I just didn't. If someone had like said, "What's your favorite movie?" Like, I'd be like, I don't know. Like, I actually don't know. I don't know like things about myself that I want to know about other people.
Yeah, so yeah, I feel that.
It's like I want to know who I am, and I feel like I'm getting to know myself. But like, yeah, in every aspect, as I said, like mentally, physically, sexually, like I just, it's really nice, like being able to explore as a young person. We're so young still. But I was actually, that actually made me think the other day, my friend and I were in the shopping center and I have been feeling so good. I've never felt so good about myself ever. I love I love how I look, and I'm you know, it's because I've worked hard. So my friend and I were like trying on clothes, because you can't try clothes on here, you have to try them on in the store. And this little girl came up to me in the mirror. She was looking, she was sharing the mirror with me. Mm. And then I said, and then she was looking like at herself, like, I don't like these pants. And I was like, I turned to her and I said, I love them. They look so good on you. And then her mum said to me, she thinks she looks fat. I'm like, oh my gosh, no way. And the little young girl was very much like, I don't know. And I'm like, no, seriously, they are amazing, they look good on you, stop it. Like, and then she like smiled, and like her mum was like, yeah, she just really thinks she's fat, and she doesn't like, you know, doesn't want to go shopping. And then I said to her, how old are you? And she said 11.
Yeah, I know.
And I was
how
like,
how sad is that?
And I said to Esther, I was with Esther, I said, why does it take us, like, we, because then we were watching her, because she's so beautiful, she's like this little 11 year old, still a little kid, dancing in the shop, being so free-willed, but she's already got that creeping like negative stigma in her head.
Totally.
And I'm a 23 year old now, dancing in the shop, free will. I wouldn't have done that 5 years ago. I mean, with a friend, yes, but like I'm just like living my life. I don't care who is around me. That's what the same thing you have as a 10 year old. But then there's all that time in between where you're so morphed, and things are so like affect you so much that you turn into something else, and then you come back out of it as an adult going, why did I have to go through so much self-hate to get back here to then go, actually, I do love myself. It just was so sad to think, oh my God, you've got like a good 10 years or 15 years of, if you're already thinking that about yourself, I just like felt so horrible in the sense that she's so beautiful and like she shouldn't have to feel that way. But she's
does
Gen Z, isn't she? Like she's very much like a young girl who is TikTok obsessed, or you know, Facebook, like social media is their life. So that's why she probably feels that way.
Yeah.
She was so beautiful.
I was just about to bring social media back into the equation because it's definitely responsible for that as well. We just fucked. Because, like, as you said, when we were younger, social media, yes, we grew up with it, but we grew up learning about social media. Yeah, and, we did a lot of firsts when things were being released. Like, Instagram wasn't a thing when we were six. Like, no. We got Instagram as everyone else got Instagram. And I guess TikTok, again, completely different platform for many good reasons and many negative reasons as well in terms of body image. Huge. I'm going to do an episode on that as well, which if you want to do it with me, that's cool. But, that's so sad that she's 11. And
I know, when they said she was 11, I couldn't believe it because I just was
thinking. Did she look 11?
No, she looked about 13. She was, I could tell she was very young. But then, watching her just be like in her own little world, dancing in the shop and you could tell she was still a prepubescent girl.
Mm-hmm.
In her own world. I mean, and the imagination for kids is actually like very high at around 9-10 years old. And so she was still really just in her own little childhood world, but then there's obviously been some external, I guess, adult culture going into her brain. And then, but it was just one of those things to me that it was like, wow, why? I mean, I'm still on my journey, but I'm 23 and I just like now living like a 10-year-old, even though I should have been doing that my whole teenage life. I guess, don't wish your life away and, blah, blah. You don't realize it until you are an adult when you go,
I know.
I'm so young. I mean, I met these people the other day in Scotland, and they're like, how old are you? And I was like 23. And they're like, oh my God, you're so young. And I was like, I know. I've got the world's my oyster. I'm very young, I know. But there's just things in my youth that I wish that I had overcome a bit earlier. But that's who I am, and that's life, and that's hindsight for you.
Hindsight for you, yeah, exactly. Ugh, yuck. And finally, just like the last thing before we wrap things up, it's kind of just to end on a light note. It's funny you said that about you thought she was around 13 and she was 11. How we looked, you and I specifically, in year 8, year 9, taking photos, still looked like fetuses, even with makeup on. Just the difference between 11-year-olds now and 11-year-olds when we were growing up. Or 13, 14, whatever. It's like 15 going on 30 and we were 15 going on 10. Well, like
I actually was thinking that and like to bring up sex again because people always say to me like we now as I've made friends here. I don't know, it's a weird thing when you're abroad, but you make friends but you share like you go from like 0 to 100 in the first day of knowing each other. And so we were all like, tell us about, your virginity and all of that, like losing your virginity. And a lot of the girls were like, it was like very young. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so young. But then I'm like, no, I mean, I was very young, but I was with a girl. So it's a completely different story. But then I was thinking, I was like starting to experiment like very young. And then
same.
It's so weird. And then like, I was actually telling my friend, like, in the terms of, like, sex toys and stuff, different cultures, like, European cultures aren't as, like, open to things like that, I guess, as I've heard. But, like, I was like, I started touching myself and exploring when I was, like, 15. There was one person, who that was, but, like, who he kind of taught me about it. And, like, I mean... And that was good. Like, I'm glad I had a friend like that who taught me things like that back then. It's just so weird because, but then as an adult, you go, oh my God, that's so young to be like experimenting and or even like to like be thinking negatively about yourself or to be.
Yeah, I know.
But then, we were so young but you think, But I agree because like kids now, that yeah. kind of like sexual culture is going getting younger and younger because it's so relevant on
so readily like, available.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean,
I know
I was very young when I first started experimenting, but I guess all kids are.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, when you look at photos, we go, oh, my God, like, we were so little, like, babies.
I know. Oh, me wanting to do this outro eating chips. All right, well, thanks for popping on again, Charlie. That was so much fun. I'm sure everyone enjoyed it.
I love being on a podcast. I just love being able to, talk and speak freely. Thank you for having me again.
You're so welcome. Bye.
Goodbye.